Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation. We'll be reading chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. It is the last book of the Bible, and we will be reading from verse 10 of chapter 21 through verse 5 of chapter 22. It's found on page 1086 of your pew Bibles, so let us listen to God's word for us. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And now move over to chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the trees of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Our second reading will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 23 through 29 of the 14th chapter, which is found on page 939 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." The word of the Lord. Don't be afraid. That's what Jesus tells his disciples in our reading this morning from John's Gospel, and that's what Jesus tells each and every one of us. Don't be afraid. The truth is, we are often afraid. Our hearts are often troubled. But Jesus tells us, don't be afraid. Several years ago, when I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, I was at a German train station on my way to visit my cousin for Christmas, who was also stationed in another part of Germany, which was about 7 hours away by train. I was already feeling a little anxious because I had several connections to make, and of course I couldn't speak a word of German or understand a word of German, and so I was frightened that maybe I might lose one of my connections and end up God only knows where. So it was in that state of anxiety that I looked around the lobby there in the Bahnhof, the German train station, and I saw him. He was a rather large man, a very Eastern-looking man. And remember, this was 1980. I was 19 years old. It was during the Iranian Revolution. Iran was holding over 50 American hostages. It was just weeks after the then Soviet Union had invaded Afghanistan. I'd been reading a lot about Iran and Afghanistan, and this man that was there in the train station in the Bahnhof, to me, was the embodiment of all that I feared at that time. And I found myself being overcome with fear as I looked at him. He had his hands on his hips. He had a turban on, Eastern-looking clothing, a mustache, a great big beard. And I was overcome with a bit of fear and loathing. This was the enemy in my mind. But as I was watching him, his wife was watching me. And suddenly my eyes caught her eyes, and she was transfixed on this 19-year-old African-American, American soldier standing there in awe of her husband, in fear of her husband. And she smiled. And her smile released me from that fear that was bubbling up inside of my heart. Fear is something that takes hold of all of us from one time or another, especially during those times when we feel vulnerable and alone. It is easy for us to become afraid. It's easy for us to fear. That's where Jesus' disciples were immediately after his arrest. They were all afraid. They all ran away. They were all huddled behind the locked door. They had come into Jerusalem with Jesus, filled with promise, but immediately after he was arrested, they all fled in terror and fear. Our lectionary reading this morning from the Gospel of John is actually a glimpse backwards. It takes place before Easter on that night that Jesus was arrested. It's part of the so-called farewell address that the Lord gives to his followers. He has been with them for 3 years, guiding them, leading them, teaching them, showing them the ways of God. But now he is getting them ready for his absence, getting them ready for that time when he will no longer be with them, at least physically. And Jesus doesn't pretend that their time without him will be easy. He knows what lies in front of them. He can see the trials. He can see the tribulations. He can see the difficulties that will shortly overwhelm them. But it's in the midst of all that he sees that he tells them, "Don't be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." And it's that consoling invitation that he offers us as well. Don't be afraid. Maybe it's just me this morning, but I think we live in scary times, fearful times. Seems like every day we are confronted with some new horror. Just a few months ago that we were menaced by the dreaded Ebola virus that ravaged large parts of West Africa. You remember how fearful we were. There were lots of people who were afraid. Governors of certain states did not want people flying into their states from certain places in the world where that virus had already ravaged large segments of the population. People were hunkered down and afraid. We were tuned in to the television set, wondering when the first case of Ebola would be found here in the United States and how we would quarantine it. We were afraid. Thanks to the heroic efforts of a lot of people, that dreaded virus has been somewhat arrested. But I'm to understand that there's a new virus now from Brazil, something called the Zika virus. And I don't think we can stop it from entering our borders because it's borne by mosquitoes. But it's a scary time. We live in fearful times. I was reading something this week on global warming. I know that there are some people who don't believe it. They believe it's all a hoax. But 97% of climate scientists believe that the planet is warming as a result of carbons being pumped into the atmosphere, and they warn us that unless we get on top of it, that it will do irreparable harm to the planet and irreparable harm to ourselves and our children. They warn us of rising sea levels, of melting glaciers, of acidic oceans wiping out lots of marine life. I had an opportunity to read some of the effects that will happen if we don't address global warming, the warming and greenhouse effect of our nation. But we live in scary times, fearful times. We live in a world of wars and rumors of wars, a world of natural disasters, of earthquakes like the one in Ecuador last week, and the wars that ravage a good part of the Middle East, a good part of Northern Africa that sends people traveling and seeking refuge in other places. And we're reminded again that we live in fearful times, scary times. I saw on television this week where a young college student whose family had been refugees from Iraq was escorted off a plane in California for speaking Arabic. He was on his cell phone talking to his uncle in Arabic, and one of the other passengers heard him and became terrified. She went to the staff, and the staff not only escorted him off the plane, but also called the FBI. And I can't say that I blame the passenger for alerting the staff about her fears, but indeed it is symptomatic of how fearful we are. We are a people who are caught in the grips of fear. We are fearful of Arabs. We are fearful of Muslims. We are fearful of immigrants. We are fearful of one another. We are people who are afraid. It's a bit ironic in many respects because we in the United States, we're the most powerful nation in the world. We have more bombs, more tanks, more military expenditure than any nation in the world. There's no one who can even begin to compare to our level of military expenditure and to our armaments, and yet we are so afraid, so fearful. So much afraid are we. We arm ourselves individually. We need our guns. Need to go out in our guns. Need people to see us with our guns. God knows how we love our guns, but we have to have them because we are afraid. And it's in the presence of fear that our hearts lack peace. We don't have any peace. We don't have any peace deep down inside of ourselves and no peace with one another. Because we live in scary times. And even we in the church are a little bit fearful. The world around us is changing. The values of many of us grew up with are changing. Everything seems wide open. We're a little bit afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. We're afraid of the world. We're afraid of the people around us. We're afraid. I know I'm a little anxious, a little troubled, afraid sometimes even to go to a public restroom. You don't know who you might run into there. We are afraid. But it's in the midst of this world encumbered as it is with all of our fears, our fear of uncertainty, our fear of the future, our fears of one another, our fear of death, that Jesus invites us to put away our fears. It's in the midst of this world, this scary world, that Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Jesus invites us not to be afraid, not out of some false sense of bravado, but he invites us because he wants us to know that even though he is not here with us in the flesh, that we are not alone. He has not left us orphaned, but he has given us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit who is our advocate, our counselor, the Spirit that will continue to lead us into all truth. Jesus tells us that he will give us his Spirit. There is nothing that is more contrary to the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, than fear. That's because the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit of love. And perfect love, we are told, casts out fear. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit of peace. Peace that comes in the midst of the storm. Peace that passes all understanding. The peace that will one day permeate the whole world. And that's the Spirit that Jesus promises all of us. Peace I leave with you, he says. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. We know, of course, how the world gives. The world gives with one hand and takes back with another. The world gives if you are rich enough or pretty enough or famous enough. But the kind of peace that Jesus gives to us is a deep and abiding peace that assures us that no matter how scary and fearful the world may seem, that we can be confident of the Lord's abiding presence with us. And so he tells us, don't be afraid. Jesus doesn't offer us his Spirit so that we can be sheltered and protected from the world. Rather, he offers us his Spirit so that we might embrace the world and move deeper into the world to serve the world. There's no guarantee that we'll be protected from the kinds of things that threaten other people. All that we are promised is that in the midst of the world's storms, that we know that he is with us. His Spirit is with us, guiding us, directing us, comforting us. I was reminded of a story that I had read about Martin Luther King Jr. during the early days of the civil rights movement. He was in his home one evening and he received a phone call. It's about 12 o'clock at night. And when he picked up the call, the phone, it was a threatening caller. The caller threatened to kill him, to blow his head off, and to kill his family. And he said that as he put the phone down, he was overwhelmed with a sense of fear, a deep and abiding fear. As you can imagine, when someone threatens you in that way. And so he sat down at the table over a cup of coffee late in the night and he began to pray. He began to pray to God, pray for deliverance. And it was in the midst of that time of prayer that he said he had a vision. And he heard the words of the Lord telling him to continue, to don't not be afraid. Don't be afraid, but continue to fight for justice. Continue to fight for righteousness. Continue to do the work that I have sent you to do. And he was overcome by the peace of God. And he said that he was reminded by God that God would be with him in the midst of the trials and tribulations that were to come. And the same is true with all of us. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what kind of trials and tribulations may cause you concern and fear, no matter how perturbed you might be by events going on in your life, the good news is that the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Understand and accept God's love for you and embrace the peace of Christ, the peace of God that the Lord wants to give you. We are, of course, afraid. Our hearts are troubled. I know my heart's a little troubled now just looking at what's going on in our nation, what's going to happen. I've been watching politics ever since I was a little kid, political campaigns, and my heart is troubled by what I see going on right now, by the dissolution of our discourse, our political discourse, by the way we treat one another, by the way we relate to one another. And there are people out there who would want us to be afraid, who would make us afraid of one another. But it's in the midst of all of that that we are reminded of who we are. We are reminded that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are reminded that we are the people of God. And so in the midst of it all, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be like everyone else who is anxious about the world, anxious about the future, anxious about our lives. We know that the world belongs to God. We know that we belong to God. We know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can hear his invitation to us. Don't be afraid. I love that vision in the book of Revelation that we read earlier, that vision of God's presence in our midst. God's presence with us, God's abiding presence, not just with us, his people, but God's abiding presence permeating the whole world. The book of Revelation, of course, is a scary book. It was written for scary times, but it was a book that was not written to make us afraid. That's the way that some people use it. But it's a book written to call us out of our fears. It's a book written so that we might better embrace God's coming future. God's coming future where there is no more tears. God's coming future where everything that makes us afraid will be destroyed and done away with. And so don't be afraid. I was in the mall the other day, and I noticed a young mother walking towards me with her toddler. You could tell that the toddler had just learned to walk. And the mother was engaged in kind of a mock run, and the little toddler, little girl, was trying to keep up with their mother running. And as they were coming towards me, the toddler, suddenly her little legs weren't able to go as quick, and she fell down, hit the ground hard. For a second or two, she looked around, and then she began to cry and wail loudly. And her mother went back towards her and picked her up. And after a few consoling embraces and assurances, she wiped the little girl's eyes, took her by the hand, and they were off again in their mock run, giggling and laughing as if nothing happened. And we're reminded that that's the way it will be for this whole creation. That one day God will wipe every tear from our eyes. That God's presence is with us even now, ready to catch us when we fall, to wipe our eyes and to remind us that we don't have to be afraid. He is with us. His Spirit is with us, guiding us, leading us into God's coming future. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid of this world. Don't be afraid of what you see around you. Don't be afraid of the things that threaten to overwhelm you. Know that God loves you, that the Lord Jesus Christ is embracing you, that His Holy Spirit is with you even now. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid, little flock, because God loves you more than you can even begin to know. And He has your life and my life in the palm of His hand. And so we will be there forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, You have reminded us in a world that is filled with fear that You have called us to be Your people, that You have called us to be a people whose hearts are not gripped in fear, but whose hearts are gripped and sustained by the assurance of Your loving Spirit with us. We pray, Lord, that You help us not to be afraid, that You give us the courage to love You and to love our neighbors, that You give us the courage to be vulnerable, that You give us the courage to open up ourselves, to open up our lives for the sake of Your redemptive, loving presence. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.